to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB. And this week we sit down with Brooks Pierce, the president and COO of Inspired Entertainment, on how his company has grown over the past year and why it is one of the most dynamic organizations in the industry. This program is sponsored by Konami Gaming. Later in the show, we're talking about a Konami creation that keeps reaching more and more properties year after year. So stay tuned.
Let this love I have inside is everything it seems. But for now,
Inspired Entertainment was a groundbreaker in virtual sports and simulated gaming with great graphics and unique betting systems. The company also has operations in several European countries and is incorporating its games in many of the lottery platforms around the world. Brooks Pierce has been president and chief operating officer of Inspired since 2018, and along with CEO Lauren Wheel, a former leader of Scientific Games, has directed the growth of the company into new and synergistic parts of the gaming industry. He spoke with me at G2E in Las Vegas in October. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Brooks Pierce from Inspired Gaming. Brooks, thanks for joining us. It's always good to catch up with you here at G2E.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. Likewise.
And it's nice to get back together with the industry, even though it's still a little bit strange with the masks and the social distancing and everything. But it's nice to see everybody again.
Yeah, no, I think it's been nice to have some face-to-face meetings. It's been a while since we've done that.
Right.
And I do find it a little strange as you're walking down the hallway and people you think you would know,
yeah,
you don't
right,
know
exactly
with their
right.
mask, and then they pull it off and you feel embarrassed that you're like, oh, geez, I should have known who that was.
Right, but no, it's true. I've walked down the hall a couple of times and I'm like, is that who I think it
exactly,
is?
Exactly.
You know? you don't want to stop them. And,
no, exactly.
Exactly. So let's talk about what happened during the pandemic too with Inspired. It obviously impacted every company in the world,
sure.
basically.
Sure.
What was the impact with Inspired?
Well, it was pretty dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Of roughly 1,300 plus employees, at one point we had 1,100 furloughed.
Yeah.
The UK government was actually very generous and allowed us to do that and
mm-hmm.
have the people be kind of setting aside, but every bit of our retail business was completely
sure.
shut down. We didn't
right.
have one operation going.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is our online gaming businesses, both the iGaming side and the virtual sports side, took off like a rocket.
Right.
And fortunately, we're in the position now that everything has come back from a retail perspective
mm-hmm.
and everything's back up and running. And actually the numbers are kind of come back to where they had pre-COVID.
Right.
But we had assumed that the online gaming would soften up at that
right.
point, but it really hasn't.
Yeah.
I think it does validate this strategy that a lot of people are talking about out
sure.
here,
yeah.
is that online gaming and retail gaming can coexist
right.
and maybe even thrive.
Right. Well, we've seen that, in New Jersey, certainly,
certainly.
Again, the online gaming portion just soared during the pandemic, and it hasn't really fallen off at all during now that the casinos are open again.
No, I think you're seeing that in Michigan. You're seeing it in New Jersey.
Right.
Kind of every market is validating that.
Right. Right. No question. Now, your retail shops in the UK, do you have those FOBT machines there?
Oh, yeah.
And has that restriction impacted their operation at all?
Yeah, so when the retail business was shut down,
mm-hmm.
All the betting shops, so
right.
pretty much everybody, you couldn't go to a betting
right.
shop. So it was pretty difficult. And then they eventually brought it back, but they brought it back with some restrictions,
right.
how much time you could actually spend in the shop,
mm-hmm.
you had to wear a mask,
right.
et cetera, et cetera. But now in the UK, it's pretty much, you can go there as frequently as you want,
mm-hmm.
stay as long as you want,
right.
and the numbers have come back, just kind of right where they left off, which is nice.
But when they reduced the maximum bet to £2.
Oh, sure. When that happened,
right.
yeah, that was a couple of years ago,
right.
and yeah, that was pretty dramatic.
Right.
And for us, it had a major impact.
Sure.
On our business and the betting shops as well. So a number of the betting shops closed. But the interesting thing about it was, as some of those closed, what we saw is a number of the customers kind of migrated to surrounding areas. So in the long term, I think frankly for us and for our customers, it was kind of the long end of the tail got cut off.
Right. Yeah.
So they now kind of had the same level of business, somewhat like what you see in the casino business in North America, where people have shrunk their floors, but they're still getting the same kind of yield.
Absolutely, yeah.
Same thing with the betting shops in the UK.
So, you know, I always assumed that, you know, once sports betting became really widespread, you know, you could bet on the real games, I would assume the virtual sports would have fallen off, but that's not really the case, is it?
No, in fact, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
They're complementary to one another. What happens is generally, you know, when in a mature sports betting market, kind of virtuals ends up doing about 10 to 15% of what the sports betting is. So when a, you know, person goes and watches a game that maybe the outcome isn't determined for 3 hours, in their intervening period, or if there's not live content on that they want, they can play virtual sports.
Right.
So it's generally lower stake, but it's more of an activity where people will, you know, just kind of bet it more frequently because the outcome is almost, you know, every 90 seconds.
Sure, right.
So we found that it's actually very complementary to sports betting. And most of the operators want to have the ability to have that as a product alongside their sports betting.
Okay. So explain how you make these games. As you said, they're short duration. You know, what goes into the construction of those games?
So depending on the game, but it can be very sophisticated to the level of where we actually, you know, put people in the outfits with sensors actually film them playing whatever the game is, you know, whether it's basketball or football or soccer. And then we actually make that into, you know, motion capture. Put that into an image and create essentially highlights. I mean, it's basically the highlights of the game. But, you know, I joke, we did the basketball shoot recently. Actually probably about a year ago, and we did it in Wales, and I said, well, the funniest thing is, you know, try to find 10 guys in Wales that can dunk.
Exactly right.
So, but yeah, it's pretty sophisticated, you know, high level graphics, and that's kind of what attracts people to the games.
Right. So and you do all different sports.
Yeah, so we're up to 15 different sports. We're just getting ready to probably in the first quarter next year launch a baseball product.
Okay.
It'll be a home run derby, and we think that'll be exciting not only for the North American market, but certainly Latin America and Asia. And this has become, you know, a worldwide business for us.
Yeah, no question. How about horse racing? Would you do any of that?
Yeah. So horse racing is big. So in Pennsylvania and the lottery, we probably talked about this in, you know, one of the last couple podcasts that we've done together. So the Pennsylvania Lottery is our biggest lottery customer, one of our biggest lottery customers. And so they have what they call Derby Cash. So it's a virtual horse race going off every 3 to 4 minutes in sports bars and convenience stores all around Pennsylvania, 9,000 locations. And people are, you know, engaging with it, which is what we want to see. And the growth has been kind of north of 25%, you know, on a pretty consistent basis.
Great.
And we're just about ready to launch a new football product in Pennsylvania that will be a parlay, you know, because parlay wagering is obviously very big here in the States. So people will be able to watch a virtual football where there's 8 games going on simultaneously, and you're going to pick any one of the 16 teams that are playing one another, and you can have, you know, 3-team parlay, 4-team, up to 18 parlay. So the bettors can kind of determine what level of volatility that they want to go for.
Sure.
So
it's
pretty attractive.
And people are starting to understand more about parlays these days because of real sports betting.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that we probably took for granted in North America is because, you know, most of the markets where we have been, whether it's Italy, Greece, UK, are mature sports betting markets, and people are used to it and they've engaged in it for years and years and years.
Yeah.
It's new to the States. I mean, it's, you know, a couple years old. And so what we've found is most of the operators have been focused on sports, but virtual sports comes along right behind it. And I know you see in the industry, there's certainly a lot more push now from those operators on iGaming as well.
Sure.
Because the margins are better for them. And it's, so, yeah, we think virtual sports is kind of right on the cusp of being a major part of the gaming landscape for the States.
Great. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Konami's award-winning Synchros is the casino management system of choice for some of the industry's most innovative operators. Many have chosen Synchros in recent years. Operators like Red River Casinos in Pennsylvania and New York, Desert Diamond Casinos in Arizona, Golden Entertainment with 10 casinos across the U.S., Carnival Corporation and Norwegian Cruise Lines, Las Vegas' newest strip mega resort, Resorts World Las Vegas, and it was selected by the nation's largest casino on the West Coast with over 6,500 slot machines and an amazing new resort hotel. To start speaking with the Konami team about Synchros and why so many casinos are choosing it, visit KonamiGaming.com/connect.
So you've announced some new contracts and partnerships lately. Give us some details on that.
Well, so we run the business, and there's kind of four segments. So mm-hmm. our iGaming business, our virtual sports business, our gaming machine business, and then what we call the leisure business, which mm-hmm. is where we put gaming machines, but in pubs and
right.
motorway services mm-hmm. and holiday parks, et cetera, et cetera. So if you go across the kind of whole gamut of that, we're announcing deals on a fairly regular basis with all the major operators
right.
you would know, BetMGM, FanDuel, mm-hmm. DraftKings. We just did a big VLT deal in Western Canada, growing in Illinois. When we first started talking a couple years ago, we
right.
were just starting in Illinois. Mm-hmm. Now we're starting to get some real traction there. So pretty excited about our growth in North America.
Okay. So tell us about Illinois. I mean, last time we talked, you had just gotten in there.
Right.
And then are these games on the actual machines in the pubs and restaurants and things like that?
Yeah. So they're truly VLTs. Mm-hmm. And the one of the differentiating factors is when you go into a restaurant or a cafe in Illinois, the most number of machines they can have is six.
Mm-hmm.
So generally what they do is they'll have mostly probably at least four or five different suppliers. They may have one
right.
or two machines or the other. But the real key is, because these people are coming on a frequent basis, is you've got to be able to change the content
right.
on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our stuff is server-based and downloadable.
Okay.
So when we want to change games, we'll put in a game or two every quarter just to keep the content fresh.
Right.
So it's less about the box itself in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and it is really more about refreshing the content for local players that are going to play kind of three, four, five times a week.
Right. So on this box, you have all your games on one box then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll have, the menu has 10 games, and then kind of once every quarter we'll try and have a different game. It's interesting, one of the things in the industry that people have always tried to figure out
mm-hmm.
is the level of volatility the players
right.
Kind of migrate to. We ended up doing it, basically we show it on our machines as a thermometer.
Right.
So we have, on the one mm-hmm. side it's more wins, and on the other side it's higher payouts, and then we put all of the various content that we have. So when a player walks up to our machine and is not sure about the games,
right.
they can literally look on this thermometer and say, well, this is the kind of, I want to sit here for an hour or two,
mm-hmm.
or I want to play and I want to have a chance for a big payout.
Right.
So,
okay.
So it's interesting that that's the way we're doing it in Illinois.
So, your partnerships with the online companies are, they have all the games in there, and that they can just pick your games.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And the iGaming business is a little bit like the real estate business,
right.
is that, it's really about the location.
Location, right, yeah.
And from the operator's perspective, they're going to put the games on that are performing the best.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is kind of... And certainly one of the things that probably we, from a competitive standpoint, since we don't have as big a retail presence in North America as,
right,
like iGames
sure.
or an IGT,
right.
But our games are resonating with the players. So for those that are not big North American retail slot
mm-hmm.
suppliers, our games are generally number one or number two. So
mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of experience in this in Europe, and it's translated very well to the North American market.
I've noticed on a lot of online slot games, there's a return to player function where you can actually see how much the payback. Do you guys
sure.
do that too?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah. So I think that's certainly what I've explained to a lot of people, and obviously your audience is very well educated in gaming. But RTPs are going to be consistent along most of the suppliers.
Right.
But it's really how you generate that RTP.
Right, sure. Right.
The math behind it
right.
is what drives
yeah.
play.
Yeah, obviously, slot games are, the secret to the game is the math.
There's no doubt about it.
And they can all be the same payback percentage or whatever, but, again, it's how you get there.
Yeah, and I think, interestingly, in online, because it's, again, it's you're not putting it into big cabinets and everything
mm-hmm.
else, you can change games and you can take a math model that works well And then what we call reskinning is basically change the graphics, change the art, but you know the math works, and then you get that out in the marketplace, and it's kind of a nice formula to get constant success in math models that work.
So I'm wondering, like, what's the psychology of a player who plays the virtual sports? I mean, you know, with a slot machine, you see the reels or the lines show up, but virtual sports, you know, you can the result changes, and you can actually see kind of the players, you know, reflect back.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and I wish I could say that we would take credit for it, but virtual sports seems to work for all different kinds of players. Mm-hmm. So sports players like it because it's something that they recognize. It's fixed odds, mm-hmm. even though the outcome is determined randomly, but it's, you know, we have over-unders and spreads and totals, and so sports bettors like it. Lottery players like it because instead of, like, for example, Keno, where it's basically, you know, spitting out ping-pong balls, this is a visual, virtual representation that's a lot more interesting, but the outcome is very much derived like a Keno game.
Right.
And then casino players seem to gravitate to it as well because it is really an RNG, and the RTP is not quite to the level of iGaming, but it's not far from it. So they like the engagement as well, and it's a, you know, it's not every 2 seconds like you do iGaming, but it's, you know, so it's a good time for them to take a little respite and play virtual sports. So yeah, again, I wish we could take credit for thinking that through, but sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you mentioned the horse racing. I mean, is there any place in these horse racing machine states where you could put your
Yeah, time? I mean, it's certainly one of the areas. I think probably everyone in the industry is surprised at how big and resilient, you know, historical horse racing has become. So we certainly have our eye on it. But our real sweet spot is what we call distributed gaming. So locations where there's lots of locations but few numbers of machines, and people want to refresh the content.
That's
our sweet spot.
So where do you see other jurisdictions opening with those distributed games? I mean, we've already got, you know, Illinois is the big one.
But yeah. So
Virginia had them, and now they've banned them. So
yeah. Well, I think it's, you know, the success in Illinois, I think, is going to be about Oregon. Obviously, has a lot of machines. Nevada, South Dakota, West Virginia. But I think from the operator's perspective, and when we deal with Illinois, we deal with a lot of the gaming operators.
Right.
Penn
National's
there. Delaware North is there. And I think the model has worked, and it certainly has worked from the state side because it hasn't really negatively impacted the bigger land-based casinos. But from a tax standpoint, they're generating more revenues from gaming. So, you know, I think Illinois is a nice proof model, and, you know, you certainly hear about this, whether it's, you know, Indiana, Missouri, there's always, you know, scuttlebutt out there, Pennsylvania. But yeah, so we keep a close eye on it.
Okay, great. So where do you see the future growth in the industry? I mean, certainly, you know, you're going to see more of these distributed gaming states, but you're going to see, and I'm sure our online is front of mind for you guys.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, certainly, whether it's online gaming or online virtual sports, I mean, I would suspect that if you looked at Inspired, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, we might be 50% of our business being digital, and maybe, you know, 60-70% of our EBITDA being digital.
Okay.
So that's clearly the future for us. But retail, I mean, we have 35,000 machines out on a recurring revenue basis. So we have, you know, game designers and developers there who are motivated to make sure that the players engage with our product, because we're in it just like the operator. We get a percentage of the cash box.
Sure, sure. Well, I guess you've got to employ pretty much specialized designers in this field, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that I found interesting, you know, obviously my background, as you know, I've been with Cygames for a long time. I was with Aristocrat for a number of years. Is one of the unique features that I find about Inspired with the game design folks is they really are players. I mean, they actually go into a market. In Illinois, we spent a year in Illinois with our game designers, looking at what was working, talking to players, seeing what they liked, and we really developed bespoke product for that marketplace.
Right. So on the online side, your games are considered the casino games, right? I mean, they're not considered a sportsbook game.
Yeah, no, they are casino games.
Okay, that's right, great. Well, it sounds like there's a bright future for your company, and you know, you're growing pretty substantially.
Yeah, I mean, I think the, you know, probably from the last time I spoke to you, our share price has kind of tripled. The business is, you know, certainly tracking along. how we would expect it. Obviously, COVID has been something that's been difficult for everybody, but I think it was a good kind of time for everyone in the industry to take a real hard look at their business. So yeah, we feel very confident about the future and pretty excited about it.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us, Brooks. It's great to see you again, and hopefully
Likewise.
We can do it next year and catch
Maybe
up.
No masks next year.
No,
that would be
for
great.
For sure.
Okay.
Thanks very
thanks,
much, and thanks for joining us on the GGE podcast.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Konami Gaming. Head to konamigaming.com/connect to start speaking with Konami's top Synchros representatives about your 2022 technology goals. To learn more about simulated gaming, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Sign up on Apple Podcasts or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.